everyone. Again, this is The Scope, the podcast channel of Amnesty International Hungary. You know me already. My name is Fanny Maciaszewski. I'm responsible for international solidarity. And my guest today is actually a colleague of mine from another national amnesty entity. Before introducing them, however, I would like to ask you to follow our social media channels if you haven't already done so. Listen to our regular podcast episode. And if you can, please also support Amnesty Hungary with a donation, because we can work independently only because of the many great people who already support us. And one more thing, guys, before we start the conversation, LGBTI plus rights is a very important topic for Amnesty Hungary, and therefore we are going to follow up on today's episode next week. We are going to mostly discuss LGBTI plus issues in Hungary, so stay tuned for the next episode and make sure that you listen to that one as well. And now I'd like you to meet my guest of today's episode, Nicole Nagy, who works for Amnesty Slovakia as Junior Coordinator of Campaigns. Nicole, welcome to the podcast. It is super cool.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much that I can join this podcast.
So, Nico, the reason why we are here today is that very recently there has been another attack on LGBTI plus rights, and more specifically the rights of transgender, non-binary and intersex people in Slovakia. Of course, I'm talking about the draft bill on the so-called birth number, or how it is officially called, the national identification number. And that was by the National Assembly advanced into second reading on the 21st of March. What we already know is that if this law is adopted, that would be a four-digit number, as far as I know, assigned to everyone, which would signal once the birth date and for second, as the bill puts it, the actual biological sex that has been determined at birth. So, Nico, what does this mean in practice, and why is this problematic?
Okay, so the thing is that It already works like this in Slovakia. So The birth number already has a sex identificator right now. But right now we are able to change it if we provide a paper that proves that we have gone through medical transition. And then we can get the birth number changed. We can get a new birth certificate and subsequently also change our documents and the gender marker in our identification card and our name. So right now, what this bill is trying to change is that it would not be possible to change the birth number based on a paper from a doctor about undergoing medical transition, but they would want a transgender person to provide a genetic test. And this genetic test would basically, it is supposed to prove that the person's sex has been incorrectly determined in the past, which is obviously impossible because medical transition, and it doesn't matter if it's hormonal treatment or if it's some kind of surgeries, medical transition doesn't change the chromosome variation of the person undergoing it. And therefore, this if this bill is passed, it will basically mean that people in Slovakia will not be able to go through transitions anymore, through legal transitions. They could still go through medical ones, but they could not change their sex marker in their documents and their birth certificate.
So as you said, this birth number is already an existing concept in the Slovakian legislation.
It is already a concept, and it already indicates the sex assigned at birth based on external genitalia, which is why it is quite complicated to change documents, because you have to first change the birth number in order to indicate the opposite sex after you've gone through a transition.
Who proposed this bill? If it was already existing, like, who was the one who initiated the idea that, you know, there should be another law about basically transgender people not being able to have a legal transition?
It was a group of conservative politicians. One of them is very known in Slovakia because she has been trying to she has proposed many laws which want to change access to abortions, limit access to abortions, or even ban abortions in some cases. So this group of politicians, they are very known by being strongly Christian, and they in many cases, and it is a case in this one as well, they basically attribute these the fact that they want to change these laws because they said that we are a country that has the traditions that are Christian. As in our constitution, it says that Slovakia has been built on Cyrilo-Methodic traditions. So they often use these arguments. And actually, one of these politicians who proposed this law even said in one of the interviews that she would like to keep order in place in Slovakia, and that's why this bill needs to pass. So, I mean, this is not anything new, and they've been trying to do these things for the past 3 years. But this is so far the closest we got to actually passing a law like this.
So as far as I know, these conservative politicians also stated that the adoption of this bill wouldn't prevent people from having a legal transition, but you said that it would. So what is your take on this? What do you think on this statement?
It's actually very interesting. This is right now I'm speaking from my personal opinion. I think that the reason they say that it wouldn't limit the access to transitions is because they know that it could cause issues with the European Union and with the funds that we get. And of course, they do not want this backlash from people. And that's why they don't want to ban transitions or outlaw them, as in say that we cannot change our gender, but they are changing the reasons. So they say, okay, you will not have a paper from your doctor about undergoing medical transition, but you will have a paper from your doctor about a genetic test. But they know very well that medical transitions do not change the sex chromosomes of a person. So obviously, this is a very good cover-up, and they've actually been doing this in many other topics. They also say that they don't want to limit access to abortions. They just want to help women to have more time for thinking. So these arguments are like very popular in this sphere.
I have checked Amnesty Slovakia's webpage, and I could see that you guys are doing your absolute best to oppose this bill because you have a petition, you are collecting the signatures, you also encourage people to take solidarity actions, send an email, a targeted social media post to the Slovak members of parliament, and also you give platform to transgender people sharing their thoughts and experiences and concerns about this bill. Are there any other tools that you use or you are using right now while campaigning against this proposal?
We have actually co-organized a protest a couple days ago. It was the second protest against this bill already. First one was, I believe, in March after it was proposed. Then there will also be maybe like an activist gathering during IdahoBit, during 17th of May, which will be dedicated mostly to rights of trans people. We are trying to do advocacy through many channels, obviously sending thousands of letters to the parliament. But it's been, I think it's been difficult to get this topic into, or to get the public to be interested in this topic as much, because actually, this month is very, very full of bill proposals that are somehow controversial, or maybe they are, even some of them are even like funny or laughable. So there is a lot of media attention to what is happening in the parliament right now, because this is one of their last meetings before the elections in September. So the last one will be in June. And therefore, there are hundreds and hundreds of bills trying to be passed right now. So it's very difficult to get people to get their attention to this one specific one, because there are other bills right now also about abortions and other things that are being proposed. But none of them is as close to passing as this one.
Yeah. So this is, I think, a good point for me to grab the attention of our listeners. just to remind you guys who are listening to us right now, mostly the Hungarian ones, that we joined Amnesty Slovakia as a force, and we also started campaigning against this transphobic bill in March. So please, if you haven't done it yet, sign our petition that calls on the Slovak MPs not to adopt this draft bill. And by doing that, support the Slovakian LGBTI plus people. Or you can just go straight to Amnesty Slovakia's webpage and sign the petitions there. I will put the link to the webpage in the description of this podcast. So Nico, I know that the Slovak MPs are to vote on the draft proposal between the 2nd and the 19th of May, which, by the way, is also relevant because the 17th of May is the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. And when I checked your webpage, I was looking for updates on this, but I haven't found any. So do you at AI Slovakia know when the vote will take place?
Yeah, no, this is a problem. They've actually, first, they were supposed to vote on it a bit earlier. We didn't know the exact date, but then they actually postponed it, and we don't have dates on when they will vote on something, but we have a list. So we know that something that is on the 10th place will definitely be voted on, but something that is on the place 250, that might have to wait. So right now, this bill is actually in one of the last places. So we are not sure when will they vote on it and if they will even manage to have time to vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I said before, they are trying to vote on many other bills that help them in the pre-election campaign. So right now, the situation is that it is still supposed to happen in May, and it should happen by the 19th, but if it doesn't, then they will have to postpone it to June, just like all the other bills that they will not have time to vote on, because right now there is, like, I believe, more than 200. Mm-hmm. So they will definitely not have time to go through all of them. That is something that we know for sure. So they will definitely have to postpone some of them for June, but we don't know if it will happen with this one or not. And they might still change the order, so it's a bit, we don't really know what will happen.
Uh-huh. Do you maybe know when we can expect news about when the vote will take place?
It can actually just happen that we just know on the day it happens. Like, they will say the program in the morning every day, and we are checking it. So we will see, but we will definitely not know before, unless someone from the parliament will maybe talk to the media about it or something like this. But if there is no more media attention, then we will probably just know on the day when the vote happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I remember that I also sent you guys somewhat more than 500 petition signatures a couple of weeks ago that we at AI Hungary collected. So you can increase the pressure on the Slovak MPs. Did you already send the petitions to the Slovak MPs?
Yeah, we already had, we sent the first batch of the signatures and letters actually last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more than 8,000. Mm-hmm. And now we've, together with the petitions from other amnesty offices around the world, we together have now more than 10,000. So
okay,
we'll
fantastic.
Probably... Yeah, we'll probably do another handover next week.
Mm-hmm. What other amnesty sections support you?
Austria, Czech Republic,
mm-hmm.
and also we have the petition on Amnesty International web. So it is also supported by the International Secretariat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you get any answer or reaction from the Slovak Parliament?
No. And it is actually because there was this small, maybe incident, I would call it, on the protest that happened when some of the people attending the protest got into an argument with one of the politicians who is the who used to be our prime minister. Now he's not anymore, mm-hmm. but he's in the party with the same people that proposed this bill. So he appeared between the people gathering, and there was some argument going on between them, so there was a lot of media attention to this specific incident, and it actually even helped to bring attention to this bill. But other than this, there have been no reaction. I mean, this politician had, this MP had, had a whole press conference about this incident where he dehumanized trans people further, and he even posted about it on social media. So this was the only reaction that we got about the protest, basically.
What do you mean when you said dehumanized? Like, what was his statement about?
He wrote on Facebook on a post where he put the word people in quotes.
Okay.
So he said, like, these people on the protest, people in quotes, and then he called the people attending the protest gorillas. So, yeah.
Okay. Do you think, or do you think, is there any chance that there was a delay in the vote because your pressure works on the Slovak parliament, or is it just because they are really, really busy with other drafts and bills?
I think there is, it is possible that it is because of the pressure. Amnesty International Slovakia is obviously not the only organization that is working on this topic right now, and many other organizations that work in the topic of human rights of LGBT plus people have been trying to do activism and advocacy in many, many different ways. So I definitely think that the pressure, I hope that the pressure helps, and I think that it might be one of the reasons, but these are just maybe speculations, because we really don't know what exactly was their decision-making process. So I cannot say for sure, but there is some reason why they put it at the end, completely at the end of the list. So
Okay, I see. So as I already have said before, I have seen that on your webpage you give platform to the concerns of transgender and non-binary people that the Queer Community Counseling Center Prisma has recorded. So there is this community center called Prisma, and on their webpage there are a lot of people talking about their fears and concerns about this bill. And I have read these statements, and I have noticed that many of them speak retrospectively. So they mostly mention that attacks and discrimination have always been part of their life. So can we just talk about the situation of LGBTI plus rights and people in Slovakia a little bit more broadly?
Yeah, well, it has been very, very difficult lately. I mean, obviously, there was a terrorist attack on a queer bar in October last year, where one person was injured and two people died, two people were murdered. So since then, I think after it happened, it was a very difficult time, but many people probably had hope that something will change and people will actually realize that we are truly in danger. And I'm saying we because I am part of the queer community. But the thing is that nothing actually changed to the better. And many, many MPs, I mean, political parties as well, have started to use this topic as a pre-election campaign, and they are spreading a lot of misinformation, and they have very hateful strategies, especially when it comes to transgender people. What I can say that has been a positive, I mean, this is a very difficult topic, so I'm not sure how I should go. How much in detail should I go? But there, they in I think it was in March this year, they published a document called Standardized Procedures for people for treating people with the diagnosis of transsexualism under the number F64, which we still have in Slovakia, and this. This document is very, very important when it comes to medical care of trans people. And there are many, many, many problems with it. I'm not going to pretend that it's ideal. But at least after decades, we finally have some kind of documents that have standardized healthcare procedures written on how to treat patients who need care when it comes to gender dysphoria and things like that. And actually, there was the first document that was published last year, actually, it was not a bill or a law, it's just a medical document from the Minister of Health. And then it was actually like taken back because of the pressure of the politicians, and they said they will publish it again and it will be used again when the standardized procedures are published. So that happened this March after a year of waiting. And what this means is that these documents state clearly that castration or sterilization is not necessarily
mandatory.
It's not mandatory for a person to undergo medical transition. And until now, there was no documents on this. So some doctors required it, some doctors didn't, or healthcare providers. So it was a big mess, I would say. But right now, it is clearly stated on these papers. I mean, we still have a long way to go to actually see this in practice, because there has been a lot of confusion when it comes to the offices that provide legal transitions, like the change of the gender marker. There have been a lot of confusion when it comes to medical providers, but still, this is a very, very positive thing that it happened, even though it's really not ideal, because we shouldn't have the diagnosis of transsexualism anymore, which is another topic. But other than this, it has been very hard here. I mean, we do not have registered partnerships. Obviously, we do not have marriages for people, for couples of the same gender. There have been countless bill proposals in the past 2 or 3 years to limit rights of LGBT plus people in many different ways. Like, they've been trying to propose the LGBT propaganda laws, like in Hungary or in Russia. So it is a very, very difficult situation. But I personally am very grateful for these standardized procedures. So that's a very positive thing. But other than that, we are not doing great on this topic in Slovakia.
I see. And I'm assuming, because I have read about this, this proposal, that it was proposed and then it was withdrawn and then it was accepted again. And I'm assuming that because it is accepted, there are still medical providers who insist on having sterilization when you want to have legal transition. So it's just like, I'm guessing that it's in place, but you guys, some of you still face the same problems. So it's...
Of course. I mean, it's mostly, I think, from a big part, it's also a problem in these registration offices where they can actually change your birth number and give you a new birth certificate, because some of them still require people to have specifically a sentence that says that your reproductive function have been stopped, so you cannot reproduce anymore, which is what it means to have sterilization or castration. But this is right now basically illegal, because now there is a standardized document, I think it has 2 pages or 1 page, that exactly says what needs to be there, and the doctor or the healthcare provider just needs to fill in all the blanks and sign the paper, and the registration offices should change the birth number based on this document. But many of them haven't been doing it, because there is so much confusion, and for this past year many of the offices even completely refused to change people's gender markers. So this has been a very confusing situation for everybody, and we can see that it's even hard for example, for Prisma that you talked about before, or in Poradnia, which is in Bratislava. It's hard for them to always know what to do or to help trans people to go through transitions, because the system is very confusing right now to all of us.
So you mentioned that when we talk about LGBTI plus rights in Slovakia, it is there are a lot of things to mention, and it is hard to to pick something and go into that in detail because there are just like so many things. But what would you say is the biggest issue that the LGBTI plus people have to face in Slovakia?
That's a very good question. Right now, in this moment, I would say definitely trans rights, because our MPs, as well as some of the general public, some of the media, have been really adopting this hateful speech that comes from parts of the US and the UK, this whole like TERF language, and scaring people off about trans people in bathrooms and trans people in sports. So topics that are not really relevant, and especially in Slovakia, they are not relevant at all, but they are very easily used in this kind of propaganda against trans people. And many people believe that trans people are actually dangerous for the society. They are dangerous for children and things like this. So I think that this is a big problem right now, because it was definitely not this bad like 5 years ago. But then again, it's of course it's a huge problem that we do not have any civil unions or anything like this for couples of same sex or same gender. And I think when it comes to maybe numbers that we can see, there are all these maps from different websites on what is the situation in each country. I think what is actually the worst based on statistics in Slovakia is that we can see that the Eurobarometer from 2019 showed that of all EU countries, people in Slovakia have the worst opinions about the LGBT plus people. Like, we were the completely last country of all of them. So I think that this is also like one thing is a discrimination when it comes to maybe equity or human rights, and what are the bills, what are the laws. But another thing is the approach of families, friends, workplaces. And I think that this is very, very alarming in Slovakia, and it is the reason why many, many people leave and just go live abroad, because I think that it would be much easier to survive the reality of not having equal rights if we had supportive communities that would make us feel welcome here, or make us feel at home. And I think that this is a huge problem, especially in smaller towns or villages. Like, people really are scared to come out, and it's a big issue that we can see. But again, I'm speaking from my observations and opinions.
Yes, of
So
course. What do you think, how, like, what would be needed so these issues can be solved? Obviously, like, not adopting the bill on the birth number would be a very good first step, but like, if you could just like mention a couple of things that would be useful to, to start going towards the solution, that would be great.
It would be useful if our MPs would finally realize that we have some human rights obligations when it comes to LGBT plus people as well, and maybe adopt these and understand that what the Constitution says, or what the Declaration of Human Rights says, and all the other international human rights documents, that these are actually like very important things. And if they would just respect these, that would really, really, really help us. But obviously, that's a very broad sort of solution. So I think it would be also what would help is if the propaganda stopped. And I'm hoping that it will happen after elections, that in September, when we have a new parliament, it will not be such a huge topic anymore. But right now, it's actually been a topic in so many discussions and media, and it's been extremely I mean, especially trans people have been extremely demonized, and there is a lot and lots of misinformation. So I think if they just stopped using this topic to get their votes and support, that would be extremely, extremely helpful for any further discussions. Because when it comes to topics like medical transition, then obviously you need experts, you need people who actually know how to, for example, provide medical help for trans people. And it would open these conversations and discussions that actually need to be, that we need to be having on how to improve the situation of LGBT plus people in Slovakia. But it's very, very difficult to do any sort of progress of, or proactive advocacy, proactive activism, when we are always being attacked and we always just have to do reactive action and reactive activism, and we just have to sort of protest to keep the situation as it is. We are not even trying to make it better, but we are just asking them to please don't take those rights that we already have. So this is a very hard situation to be in. So if we want to spread more awareness and improve, then improve the human rights situation, then we need to have the space to actually have proactive and productive education, activism, advocacy. But it's very difficult right now.
Yeah, and it's not even not getting better, but it's getting worse, because you have mentioned the shooting in front of Tapláren that I wanted to get to, because I think when we are talking about LGBT plus rights in Slovakia, we cannot abstract from the fact that last year there was a shooting in front of a well-known and well-loved LGBTI plus bar. And just to our listeners, after that happened, we also launched another petition calling on the Slovakian parliament to grant equal rights to LGBTI plus people, and also to try their best to prevent these sort of hate crimes that happened last year. So my question for you is that, would you say that, or do you feel that the situation got worse since the shooting? And I'm interested in your personal opinion as well, because as you said, you're also a member of the queer community. So what does Amnesty Slovakia think about this? How do you see the situation at Amnesty Slovakia? And how do you personally feel about this?
Okay, I think I will start with the personal view, because I mean, just to be transparent, one of the people that was shot dead in the Tepláren shooting, Matúš, was my friend. So this was a very like personal tragedy for me as well, and for my friends and people around me. So, I mean, personally, I definitely feel like it's worse than it was before, because I feel a lot of fear around me, and I mean, even objectively, there have been many other attacks since then. Like, we even Amnesty wrote about some of them. There were two people who were beat up on a train because of a rainbow on their shirt. There were people in a bar who were kissing or maybe holding hands, I'm not sure. And they also got beat up. And I mean, there have been cases and cases like this of also, there was a music band that had a rainbow flag, and the main singer also got beat up because of this. So this was, I mean, things like this have been happening before as well, but I don't think that the frequency was this huge, or maybe just there is more attention and especially media attention. It's hard to say which one, but we've seen these attacks happening a lot since Tepláren, since the attack in front of Tepláren. So I think, I mean, and also what happened is that because there was a wave of solidarity, and because activists have been talking about this this event a lot, then there was also a big backlash from people saying, okay, but now it's too much. Now I see LGBT people when I open my fridge and things like this. So there have been a lot of backlash to even open these topics, because after 1 week, after the shooting, no one wanted to talk about it anymore. So this is how I personally see it, that I think it's been getting worse. But from the point of maybe Amnesty, I think we have never been so close to banning transitions in Slovakia as we are right now. And we've had legal transitions since the previous century, like since 60s or 70s. So after decades of having the possibility of legal transitions, this is the first time when there's actually a bill like this in the second hearing. So this is definitely, like, objectively something horrible. And in long term, we can also see that it's been getting worse. We had the referendum in 2014 when they changed the constitution, and the constitution now says that marriage is a union of one man and one woman, which also wasn't in place before. So it is very visible, the regress, and we can see that they are, because, for example, when it comes to banning legal transitions, there have been bills proposed like this before, like 2 years ago, for example, or 1.5 year ago, and they didn't even get to the second hearing. They got maybe 40 plus votes, and now they got 87, which is basically almost the constitutional majority. So this is very apparent that the opinion or maybe the approach has changed since last year, because before, every time there was a law proposed, there was a bill proposed like this, which happened a lot, we were monitoring it, but we didn't really expect it to pass into the second hearing like it did this time. So I think that in this way we can see that the pressure on limiting human rights have been maybe growing since October. But also, of course, there are many people who stand in solidarity with the queer community in Slovakia and who try to help as much as they can. But when we look at the legislation, definitely it's regress.
So we can see that these sorts of events, like the shooting, always give way to, you know, more violence and more discrimination, because some people feel like they can do it because it has happened, right? So, and now it is worse because it's about to get institutionalized by this bill. So my question would be, what do you think the consequences would be if the bill on the birth number is adopted? Like, how would the attacks or discrimination against specifically transgender people increase? What do you guys expect?
I think it would be absolutely horrible. Especially, well, first of all, we all know the statistics. We all know what happens when trans people cannot go through transitions. So I think we would definitely see a rise of mental health problems, depression, anxiety, suicide, and so on. So this is like a very objective thing that we can say, and we can see it from other countries that this is what happens. But also there is one interesting, I think, take to look at, and then it's that with this bill, they would ban people from changing their gender marker, but not their name. So a person could have a very evidently female name, but have the male marker in their documents, which would very obviously out them everywhere where they go. So this would mean that, like, the moment you show somebody your documents, they know that you're trans if you decide to change your name. So this is something that I absolutely cannot imagine happening, because the public opinion is so distorted that there people feel like they can physically attack or verbally attack trans people because they believe that trans people are the ones that are dangerous for the society. So if this happens, I think that, like, the quality of life of transgender people would drastically decrease from one day to another, especially people who are going through medical transition right now, because they could not, there are many people who've already, for example, gone through sterilization with the previous rules that we had before, and they haven't yet gotten their documents changed, and now it would stop them from doing that from one day to another. And I personally know people like that who are just waiting, and they hope that they can change it until this happens. And we can see it also in the responses that you mentioned that Prisma collected, that trans people are frightened, they are very, very scared, and it already, just the fear already has a big effect on their mental health. So I think it would have absolutely devastating consequences on the lives of trans and non-binary and also intersex people in Slovakia, because we haven't yet talked about it, but obviously requiring genetic testing for having a gender marker would be also devastating for many intersex people, especially if they would have other chromosome variations than XX and XY. Then I cannot even, we don't know what would happen in that case, because we didn't, the MPs didn't say anything about that. So we don't know how that would affect the situation of a person, but it's another thing that would potentially cause danger and lots of problems for people.
It's good that you mentioned this, and also the concerns of transgender and non-binary people on Prisma, because I wanted to turn back to that once more, because one affected, I've read those, and one affected person writes, and now I would like to quote, "I remember when the same thing happened in Hungary, and even then I was in shock, but I didn't believe that something like this could happen in Slovakia. It's like a very bad dream from which I want to wake up quickly." So what they are talking about here is obviously the so-called Article 33 in Hungary, which basically banned the legal gender recognition in our country. And I am really curious, what do you think about this? Do you think that what has happened in Hungary in 2020 influenced what is happening now in Slovakia in any way?
Absolutely, 100%. We can see so many of the bill proposals that have been there in the past 3 years are literally translated from Hungarian. Like I speak Hungarian, and I can read the bills from Hungary, and it's laughable, because some of them are literally translated, and I can see where the mistakes are being made in the translation. Like, they are really taking many of the bills or laws in Hungary and trying to take them to Slovakia when it comes to the propaganda laws as well. And and many of them even openly say that Orbán is there, that Orbán is what they want to become, that they want to become the Slovak Orbán, that they will follow him, that Orbán is finally making sure that there is order and things like this. So many of the MPs very openly state that this is where it's coming from. Just like when it comes to abortions, there is lots of inspiration from Poland. So I definitely am 100% sure that this is huge influence, and I can actually very relate to this, because I used to live in Hungary, I used to live and study in Budapest, and I loved the town, I loved to be there, and I cannot imagine living there right now as a queer person. And I was also extremely frightened when it happened in Hungary when it comes to the legal gender recognition. So I mean, obviously, this is a big topic that we all feel and see, and we fear that it will happen. And I think there is even like a saying, like, we don't want Hungary here, as in, obviously not literally, yeah, but when it comes to the situation of queer people.
Okay, well, I have one more closing question for you, which is, what happens if the law is indeed adopted, despite our campaigning? Like, does Amnesty Slovakia have a plan B? How do you guys prepare for this option? And one last, how can Amnesty Hungary help you in any way? Give us any options and we will back you up.
I think, okay, maybe this will be my personal addition. I would hope that the president would veto this law. So if it passes, I would hope that if the president vetoes it, then either they will not have time to break the veto, because there is only one more option, and it's in June, and then they have like holidays over summer, and September is elections. So that's one thing. So we would definitely try to advocate on this, maybe in this path, and try to try to put pressure on the president to veto the law. and then wait what happens. And if this would happen, they veto the law and it gets, and the veto gets broken, then I cannot imagine what we will do. I think there, maybe we would hope that we can put pressure after the elections, when we have a new parliament, that we can put pressure on them, on the new MPs, and try to get them to change the law. So there will definitely be ongoing advocacy, ongoing protests, letters, petitions, all of this. Like, we will not stop. That's definitely not going to happen. But I don't know. I don't think that my mind can process that it could actually happen, because there is still these all the other options. Like, there will not be enough time, like the president's veto and so on. So I think that this will be the main options, and what we would need from, not just from Amnesty Hungary, but from all the other amnesty offices around the world and people, is that they help us with with the petitions and with getting as many signatures as we can get. I mean, international pressure always always works. We see it in the letter writing marathon. So obviously, trying to put pressure on embassies, sending letters to the embassies, signing the petition. Solidarity helps a lot, especially because, I mean, while all of this is happening, obviously, trans people still have to function somehow in their day-to-day lives in Slovakia. Yeah. So it helps a lot to see solidarity from abroad and to know that there are people who stand with us and who care about these bills. So I think, it's a very standard amnesty answer, probably, petitions and letters and solidarity.
Yeah, but I think it's also the perfect one, because that's when you said international solidarity and pressure works, that's what I always say to the supporters who follow me and who read my letters, because I think the same. So yeah. So guys, this was Amnesty Hungary's podcast call for today. Nico, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing all these insights, and also a huge thank you for sharing your personal experience with us.
Thank you so much.
And to our listeners, as you have heard, it is a hard topic, but it is crucial and very, very important that we stand solidarity with the Slovakian LGBTI+ people. So please, if you haven't done so, then sign our petitions so we can do our best to help these people in need. So thank you so much for your attention, and see you next time, next week, actually. Bye-bye.